I've been now in the corporate world for now over 30 years. When I think about when I started and, you know, we had to wear skirt suits and stockings and,
wow.
You know, you just think about how much the corporate culture has changed. And Visa is a pretty young company and actually only it's only a public company for what now 12 years or so. So it's a very comfortable and casual culture and it's fun.
Do you want to know why it's casual and fun? Because it's everywhere you want to be.
Exactly.
I've been waiting to say that.
The branding is working.
I've been waiting to say that. Hi. Big day in pajamas, but I did shower. My thing with when I do the podcast, I like to be clean. So I've been home and it feels like the pandemic has started all over again. Of course, there's a second wave, but I just feel like I'm back to the beginning. I sort of started to feel like the weather had turned and it was back to school and in a good way, like I was in the city and going to brunch in my mind. And now I feel like I've regressed. Something has happened. I don't know why, but I'm back in my pajamas feeling sort of like not knowing what to be doing with myself. It's a weird, weird time. So today, though, sometimes I just feel like I want to say something. I know that's surprising to you. So Kylie Jenner posted, no, I don't follow her. I don't think I follow her. I stopped following most people, but I saw Us Weekly posted something where I think it was Kylie's daughter, Stormy, who I think, wait, is she two? How old is she? I think it said two-year-olds go to school. How old is she, somebody? Anybody?
She's two.
Right. So back to school. What do you mean back? Was she in school in your womb? I don't know. So I guess Stormy's back to school. But regardless, so she had a backpack on. I guess it was Hermes. And I'm not judging. I like Hermes. I have Hermes bags. I have nice stuff. I'm not going to front. I have nice watches. Shoes on my feet. I bought them. I depend on me. But there's a picture of Stormy and it says back to school and she's standing between next to a very expensive car. I could tell it's like either some rare, no one besides her has Maybach or Maybach Mercedes or a Rolls or it's not a Hyundai Sonata, I could tell you that. So it says back to school and first day of home school. Got it. So first day of home school with a Maybach or whatever that car is and an Hermes $12,000 backpack, which I really think is more than $12,000 because I think it's ostrich. So we're going to have to get a research and development team on that. But I posted, can I see what I said? I think I had a margarita and I was just like, I just commented. But I like when I'm like that because I just comment what I actually think and not just going to be like, oh my God, I'm going to get trolled tomorrow. So I tweeted, I never say anything about this stuff, but this is the most transparent, humble brag I've seen yet. It's everything wrong with everything. So it was everywhere. I was in all these magazines and whatever that I said that. And people were, you know, thousands and thousands of comments about like, thank you for saying that. Because a lot of people are scared to say things about them in particular. And it's more about like society and where we are in the world and what's going on. It's like, I think that might be bragging. I'm not sure. Like me dousing myself in Dom Perignon with a bag full of Birkins, Birkin full of diamonds, and my child has a matching $90,000 bag, and I'm driving in a Ferrari, and I'm helicoptering off a boat, or the old, let me take a picture of myself and pretend it's about me and my dog or my baby, but you see the big jet that I'm inside of in the background and all the champagne and caviar. That's the humble brag. So when you see hashtag blessed, when I see hashtag blessed, it equals bragging. It's like, the Lord has been so good to me. I got a snakeskin fedora. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't think God shops at Hermes. But I don't know God. And I don't know where she shops. So the bottom line is, you don't have to agree with me. Maybe I'm rich too, and who cares? And I'm no better than her. And like I said, they're not all one person. I've met Chris. She's an amazing business person. I've met Kylie for 10 seconds. Don't really know her. But the point of the matter is, you sort of get scared that you're going to say something, and then you're going after the car Kennedys, and like, you're going to get killed. But I'm just not going to participate in any of that. So if I see something, you know, if the Dalai Lama posts something like that, I'm going to say it too. So it's not about the Kardashians. And if I post something like that, you're going to say it too. And I'm going to get checked. And that's just the way it goes. So today, Marianne Riley, who is the Senior Vice President of Marketing for Visa North America, is a guest. And she's a powerhouse woman who is self-made, which is really one of the main recipes for these conversations, in my opinion, because I feel that a lot of you want to know how to do it. So she is going to give us some insight as to what it's like to work in a corporate environment versus a more unstructured, just rogue kind of maverick environment. We'll talk about money as it pertains to women and to relationships and to men and what do we tell our children. There will be something here for you to take to your business or to your life, no matter how big or small. Not that your life is small, but no matter how big or small your business is. Your life is big. Well, I'm excited to share this conversation with you guys after the break. Hello.
Hi, Bethany.
Marianne Riley, the Senior Vice President, North America Marketing for Visa. That is a major, major, major baller title.
It's not bad. Yeah, it's a great role.
A lot of work in the making, I assume.
Yes, a lot of work in the making. I've been at Visa now for about 2.5 years. Before that, I was at American Express for 26 years and started my career as a CPA at Deloitte.
Oh, wow.
So made the move to marketing and never looked back.
Wow. Do you feel like it's like Coke and Pepsi? Like, do you feel weird that you've gone from, you know, you've worked with the two biggest names in this industry, that it's like, you know, you must be all the same people. And is there a lot of crossover?
There is a lot of crossover, including my boss and my boss's boss, who were a lot of the reason why I came over. It's similar from a brand perspective, both amazing brands, but actually a very different model, because Visa is actually a payment technology company. American Express is a credit card company and a payment technology company. So I think really we are the rails on which all of our amazing partners and clients, which are the banks and the merchants, you know, we are the connectors. And what I love about Visa is that I, as head of North America marketing, I have everything end to end. It was a little bit more siloed at American Express, where you had little pieces, but I own everything in North America.
You mean from a marketing perspective, you're working on so many different types of projects, and there you were more, it was more compartmentalized?
Yeah. So you would have a little piece. So I worked on the consumer side of the business early in my career at Amex. And then I worked on the small business side. And then I was at the global brand level. At Visa, I have everything end to end, from managing, you know, working with the global brand team, but leading all the brand efforts, the sponsorships, the direct marketing, the client marketing, the sponsorship activation. So I really own every piece of the business from a marketing perspective.
Got it. So you said you started your career in accounting, which is certainly not marketing. So did you think of yourself at any point in your life as a marketer, or how did you end up in marketing?
You know, I think it's so hard, you know, kids thinking about going into college and trying to decide what you want to do. I didn't know what I wanted to do when I grew up. And I really didn't know when I went into college. And I ended up in accounting because as I worked with the guidance counselor on where I wanted to narrow in, it was, well, if you do accounting, you still get marketing. And if you do marketing, you're not going to get that level of the financial acumen.
Oh, God.
But I didn't love accounting. It was not me. I definitely have more of the creative side. When I moved into Amex, I supported marketing from an accounting perspective, but I leaned in and wanted to really understand the marketing side. So when an opportunity came up, they tapped me on the shoulder and I thought, what, really? You want me to do marketing?
So how do you define marketing?
When you think about marketing, it's really everything from establishing your brand, knowing who your target audience is, and being really clear and authentic on that purpose in everything that you do. It's about creating that culture throughout the organization, because Visa, the brand is our most important asset, but everyone owns the brand, not just marketing. So we need to be creating internal marketing to make sure that the entire organization and every employee feels like they own the brand mm-hmm. and are a steward and representative of the brand. We also need to then be clear about what we stand for externally, because again, because we're the engine of commerce, we are a payment technology company, and everyone needs to feel we're really a brand about inclusivity and being there for everyone, everywhere, ultimately with the goal of uplifting everyone, everywhere, including local economies. So that's what's exciting now, because we feel like there's really this purpose of we can help bring local economies back.
So how have spending habits changed as a result of the pandemic? But for the small entrepreneur, this is the time that the playing field is very leveled. So many people that were on top of the world are basically at the same level as people who just didn't know what they were going to do with it. So it's like, it's a very weird time right now where people have to be woke. They have to be just alive and alert and like, ready to hit the ground running and figure out what their plan is and how they're going to execute it, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the time right now of we all understand that small businesses are really they're the engine of the economy at the local level. So if we're going to bring the economy back, we have to help small businesses, and consumers want to help small businesses. And I think to your point, you know, what's happening? What's the data? It's obviously we're seeing more and more people buying online. So it's the challenge with small businesses has been that many of them didn't have an e-commerce site. Many of them have not, if they're brick and mortar, they haven't thought about that as a piece of their business. So we're helping them to build their e-commerce site if they don't have one. We created a back-to-business site that actually connects consumers to small businesses by seeing who's open. There's a great example of just being super nimble and thinking about ways to help.
That's amazing. It's really, really good. So spending habits are changing and they're more online. Are people spending less? Are you finding that people are spending less or they're just spending differently? I mean, I know people are spending a lot on home design right now and building and materials and, you know, just different types of spending.
Well, if you look overall, they're spending less because they're not traveling. So a lot of the spending that we see is on travel, both that's corporate travel. So, you know, just as you and I aren't traveling, I traveled a lot before COVID. So it's that spending as well as, you know, consumers, that's a lot of your spending is travel.
My dilemma in life, and when this comes back, I'd like you to implement this program for me, please. Just for me personally, for travel.
Okay. Tell me.
That I don't know why hotels just don't charge a certain amount extra, and that is definitely dedicated to tips. I know there's always like the service on the room service, but you just never feel like these people are getting their tips anywhere. And I always have obsessive tipping anxiety. So I end up bringing so much cash or going to the cash. I just went away and I went to the cash machine every day because every time someone brings me something or does something, I like to tip. So I would like the non-transactional tipping to happen.
I completely
put that on the top of the list, please, Marianne.
With you. I completely agree with you, Bethany. More to come on that.
Please, okay? And you can name it the Bethany Tipping Program if you guys want, Marianne. We can be tipping, whatever you want. You can shorten it. I'm fine with that. Be tip, whatever you want. Just, you know, make skinny girl tips. I don't care.
We will work on that together. All
right, perfect.
I love it.
Just the tips. Sorry, just kidding. Okay, so I know you're corporate. Anything inappropriate will be said from my side, and you can just pretend you didn't hear it. Just the tip. Okay, so question. Speaking of inappropriate, you work in a corporate environment. You sound like you have a fun personality. How nervous are you just working? You know, I would have a hard time working in a very corporate environment because I'm irreverent and I, you know, don't like to use a lot of corporate speak. I've joked on here before about like run it up the flagpole, down, you know, park that. I'm out of pocket. We're going to incentivize and impactful. Yeah. So how much corporate speak do you use and how do you feel about all of that.
I mean, to your point, you can't help but use corporate speak because it becomes part of your lingo. So the funny thing is that now that I'm working from home and I have my sister watches my daughter for me. So she'll point it out like, oh my God, you and that in your corporate speak. And now really? Same with my daughter, she'll throw terms back to me like that, out of pocket or up the flagpole or yeah, everything that you just said, like absolutely. It's now I'm so much more aware, but I have to say, I mean, you know, I've been now in the corporate world for now, I threw it out there now over 30 years. When I think about when I started and, you know, we had to wear skirt suits and stockings and, wow. You know, you just think about how much the corporate culture has changed. And Visa is a pretty young company and actually only it's only a public company for what now 12 years or so. So what I love about Visa is that it's much more casual atmosphere. You know, it's not, you know, you could wear jeans and sneakers. And I think it is a little bit more irreverent. And I don't feel like I have to think about what I say. It's not a concern. It's not like in the back of my mind, oh, let me watch my language or watch what I say. No, it's a very comfortable and casual culture. And that's what I love about it. It's also really collaborative culture. So you do I spend most of my days talking to people now, you know, on the phone or on Skype. So it's collaborative and it's fun. So it's a great culture.
Do you want to know why it's casual and fun? Because it's everywhere you want to be.
Exactly.
I've been waiting to say that.
Branding is working.
I've been waiting to say that. So are women still the fastest growing group in business?
Absolutely. Yeah. So women are opening, first of all, just from the entrepreneurial standpoint, what I love is there's over 250 million women entrepreneurs globally. That's amazing.
Women
are opening businesses at, you know, 1.5 times the rate of men. Of course, as you know, the challenge is that they're not getting the same level of funding. So that's also a lot of what we're doing is similar to you. It's the not only the focus on supporting small businesses in general, but really focusing on women's empowerment and women's advancement. And it's amazing that women really do, there is a gap there, that they are unaware of where to go, what resources are out there, and just what to ask for. And, you know, the whole women in general need to know their worth and ask for it.
Yes, but also too, because this is an interesting thing, just because of the way, I don't know, either the way that I just am, or I never thought about it. I've never thought about age, color, gender. So when I was going into the cocktail business, I just didn't even think about if I was a woman. And I was literally a business run by men, marketed to men, except for wine. There were no cocktails marketed to men, but I didn't even think of it. In that case, ignorance was bliss. I just plowed through, the cream rises to the top, and I never thought about it. So in a way, you're teaching people what to do, but I think you also have to teach women how to think. Like that they're just, it's how to just have it naturally to just be like, go be the boss. And Judge Judy, when she won her Lifetime Achievement Award, she said, thank God I didn't ask for equal pay with men, to men,
right,
you know, which
right.
I thought was amazing.
Exactly. That's such a great statement. Well, first of all, because it is a lot about mindset. We've done, you know, we do a ton of research to really understand. And we were trying to get to the bottom of why is there this gap? And one of the big things, and this came out with millennial research that we did, where women were just as likely to ask for a promotion, but 70% of them felt uncomfortable about asking for a raise. So it's about, you know, it's a mindset. You're a confident woman. It's about getting women to have that confidence and feel empowered to ask for what they're worth, to speak up and to, you know, really just, it's a mindset. It's a confidence. It's an empowerment. That's the big difference.
You know, it's interesting. So you have a 14-year-old daughter. I have a 10-year-old daughter. And we're talking about sort of just owning it. And, you know, I always say be better than the men. Like just go in, just don't think about what anyone else is doing and just go be you and be the best.
Now my daughter is 15 and a half.
Oh, so sorry. I thought she was 14. Okay.
But believe me, it's I can't believe the fact she's going to be 16 in a few months. So I can give you tips as you enter the
okay.
Very challenging teenage years. Buckle your seatbelt.
Oh, no.
But, okay.
But it's relevant to a 15 and a half year old. When she goes on a date, you're not telling her to pay the bill. I mean, you're not saying she shouldn't have her own money, but you're not saying,
luckily she's not dating yet, but you know, that could come any day, but absolutely. And she'll say things like, oh, mommy, don't worry that when you get older, I'm going to have a really big house and I'll make sure I have a wing for you. And I'm like, oh, that's so great, Fiona. Thank you. You're not going to put me in a nursing home. And I said, oh, great. Well, have you thought about it? Are you going to make all this money? Oh, I'm just going to make sure I marry rich. And I said, no.
Oh, my God.
You need to own your You need to establish yourself. You need to earn your own money. Like, where did this come from? Because I'm a widow and a single mother. And I am the sole breadwinner and I I own my house. I'm in the process of buying a beach house, which I'm, really proud of that I want to be that role model for her to see that I am, a strong woman who has built my career. And I think bringing her to different events and allowing her to see the younger women on my team, right out of college.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that my daughter is real. She's very athletic. She's very strong. She has full confidence that she is better than, at this point, the boys. So, and that's great.
Yeah, I know. I've got that same thing. And I love that. I want to sort of end on just hearing from you what your mantra is, like what you tell people, what you think inside, what you, business-wise, what your business mantra is.
So I would say I believe in being fully authentic and transparent, with my team. I think, my mantra is to really empower my team and inspire them. For us all to be clear and to be collaborative and to, kind of hold hands during this time and try to ask in every meeting, how are you, especially now, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And the personal level is just as important as the business. And I think you need to make connections and really make sure that everyone feels like you do care. Because people are struggling right now. I mean, there's just, there are dual working couples with small kids at home without childcare during this time. So to say, what can I do to help? You tell them, my job is to enable you. My job is to remove barriers as a leader. So you need to feel comfortable speaking up to me. And that's where the making that connection, personal connection is important so that they can, raise their hand and say, I'm not feeling great today. And I need you to help me with this problem. So it's I think personal authentic connections, empowerment and inspiration and focusing on the positive and the opportunities.
I love it. I love it. It's an amazing, amazing place to end. And it's just great to tell your story. And yes, this podcast is really about people who have just sort of fought through passion, drive and determination to get to where they are. And I just think it's very helpful for people at businesses of all level, or even people who just would think about being an entrepreneur or starting, to hear these stories just to kind of, it's not that easy to get a this is the recipe book for how to do it, because people see people once they've become successful. And I think they need to see really the nuts and bolts and the fabric of the quilt, like how it got stitched together. So I really, right. really appreciate you sharing that with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I thought that was really interesting. And we're kind of putting together a puzzle here of different ways to navigate reaching success. Some people have gone the corporate route. Some people, have gone from selling t-shirts in their car to selling Christmas trees and gone a really circuitous route like me. But the truth is, none of it is a straight line. There's a lot of bobbing and weaving, a lot of navigating. and a lot of drama and a lot of competition. And so I think it's interesting to hear from all different types of people how they got there. And that's what I really want you to garner and to listen to, because you're going to put that all together into your own entrepreneurial puzzle. Thank you so much for listening. And please remember to always rate, review, and subscribe. And definitely comment and check us out on Instagram. But I definitely want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear your feedback. I want to hear what you hate. I want to hear what you love. I want to hear what you want and what you need and what's pissing you off. And I can't wait to talk soon. Just Be is hosted and executive produced by me, Bethany Frankel, Be Real Productions, and Endeavor Content. Our managing producer is Samantha Allison, and our producer is Caroline Hamilton. Corey Preventure is our consulting producer, with the ever-faithful Sarah Katanak as our assistant producer. Our development executive is Nayantara Roy. Just Be is a production of Endeavor Content and Spoke Media. This episode was mixed by Sam Baer. And to catch more moments from the show, follow us on Instagram at Just Be With Bethany.